all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Nanny, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio, or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app, or download the MPB Public Media app.
Good morning. I am Dr. Susan Buttress, Professor of Pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. And we're here today to talk about resolving conflicts without dissolving relationships. That's our topic. And sometimes that's hard, right? Conflicts happen. It's a normal part of relationships, really. It should be. Having conflicts doesn't mean that relationships are doomed. It means that you're normal. You have opinions. Other people have opinions. And sometimes people you really care about have differing opinions than you do. But unresolved conflicts can really destroy relationships, whether it's at home, school, or in the workplace. And I bet that many of you have had some conflicts in your life recently. We know they're very common. Today, we'll talk about some of those mistakes we make when conflicts occur and how really some simple reminders about things we could do differently when we have a conflict in our life so that that conflict resolution can really happen. So, Abram, we talked about this topic a little bit last week, didn't we?
Yeah, I feel like it comes up just about every week.
Yeah.
But you've got a great tagline for it, so I'm glad you're prepared.
Yeah, he liked resolving conflicts without dissolving relationships. And you know, that's the truth, because what happens so often is that if you don't know how to resolve a conflict, you may completely lose a relationship that is valuable to you, or you may lose something, a job at a workplace, or at out in a social event, or more importantly, lose a very important, significant other relationship. So you've just got to learn how to work through those. Sometimes it's hard, though, right? You know, last week on our show, we were talking about the difference in confidence and arrogance and being self-centered, and a caller called in again about managing a conflict with someone who was overly confident or maybe a bit arrogant about something, and you know, maybe even a bully. And all of that can enter into difficulty when you're looking at resolution of a conflict. I kind of think in this day and time, and I'm not sure why it's evolved the way it has, you know, now it does seem like people don't want to work collaboratively as much as they used to. It's my way or the highway, my ideas, my whether they're political views or whether they're just social emotional views or whatever. If you don't 100% agree with me and say it exactly the way I say it, then you're wrong. And I just think it's sort of hit a frenzy lately. I don't know, Abram, what do you think? It just seems that perhaps we're seeing more difficulty in reaching a middle ground, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I feel like it's, you know, there's several things that you do have to draw a line on. But there are some things that maybe some people will take too seriously. I don't know how to phrase it. I'm not great with speaking on that type of conflict resolution, but I guess I'm here to learn. So,
okay, well, good, because I really do have a lot that I want to unpack today about this topic, because it really is important. Like I said, everybody has conflict at one time or another. And, you know, if you encounter conflict and you're one of those individuals who avoids it, so you just won't even discuss it, meaning that maybe you just give in and let whatever happen, that's the wrong way, because that makes you an unhappy person. The other thing I said, reaching middle ground where no one is completely happy is not exactly a good resolution of conflict. So, because I said middle ground at the beginning, but I really want to clarify that. Because if you're unhappy with some of this and they're unhappy with some of this, then nobody's really happy. So what needs to happen is negotiation, discussion, and work toward collaboratively coming up with what is really a better way to have things. Whether it's looking at the way a living room is arranged, or whether it's a work project, or whether it's just friends having different political opinions, to be able to collaboratively come up with a solution as to either how you're going to discuss things in the future, or how that furniture is arranged in the living room. I'm making a silly example, but you understand where I'm coming from. To be able to step through that's important.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those silly things can really build up into something much more than it should be. Especially for, I'll say, like, you know, young relationships or young married couples or something like that.
Absolutely, but it can happen in all married
couples. That's true.
Individuals get a little more stubborn in their ways and a little less worried about, well, you know, we've been married for 40 years, so why do I have to worry about her feelings anymore? Why do I have to worry about telling him he's being ridiculous? You know, I think sometimes the more comfortable you get in relationships, the less we do really a good job of working, that word, collaboratively, working together, trying to come up with a solution there. So, listeners, as we're talking through this, I'd love for you to jump in and talk about maybe those conflicts you're struggling with, or maybe some ideas about what you've done to resolve things and keep a relation intact. So you can send an email to family@mpbonline.org. Like I mentioned at our show a couple of weeks ago, we really are checking our emails, and we really would like to talk with you live. But if not, please send an email with your opinion. And if we don't get to it on the show today, we'll get to the bring it back to the show tomorrow, next week, or at a later show. So I do want to say a couple of things. An area of conflict that we've heard from some callers in the past about this, and I'd like to hear from more of you, and that's conflict in the workplace. According to several different surveys, upwards of 85% of workers experience conflict at work on some level. And some of that research that looked at those surveys said that people spend an average of 2.8 hours a week dealing with conflict. Now, that's a lot of time. And if you think about hourly wage, that's a lot of money spent, right, on conflict.
That is a quite quite the turnout on that right there.
Yeah.
2.8 hours. That sounds like wild to me. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are sitting down arguing back and forth with each other. It may be that somebody walked out in a meeting because they didn't agree with what was going on. Or it may be that someone just stopped the planning that was going on because they couldn't work out the differences in what the advertising plan should be. So to know that there really is lost work time and that often is why there is such significant unhappiness in the workplace, is that there tends to be conflict without being able to resolve it. And some of that difficulty in the workplace, and I think this occurs in the home and with extended friendships too. Some of it is there doesn't seem to be that equal playing field, that someone appears to be either literally is your superior in the workplace or at home and or in the friendship, somebody has taken that elevated position. So there's not a peer-to-peer discussion as much a superior to inferior discussion, which then makes the conflict much more difficult and much more painful.
Yeah, I mean, when you apply these like hierarchies to these relationships, that definitely causes a lot of resentment, or, you know, I could do what they're doing better and whatnot. And, you know, I have a great job up here at NPB. This is just an example that, like, you could get upset with your boss. I'm not upset with Java. Java's great. Java's a great guy. But just, people can get upset with their boss, and like that resentment that comes from maybe they're not doing as much as I'm doing and they are in a better position than me.
Right.
So there is a lot of, you know, that conflict comes kind of, I don't want to say naturally, but it does feel very consistent.
Right. It's going to happen. And so the way to not make it cause an unhappy workplace or have you go home and be unhappy when you get home ruminating about what's happening is to learn how to manage that well. And we'll talk through that as we go. I think what we'll do is go to our first caller before we go to our first break. And we have Tan in Ridgeland with some questions about communication. Hi, Tan. Talk to us about your thoughts.
Well, I have a 36-year-old son. I'm older, as you can tell. He's on the other side of the country. It's funny because he's in a liberal city and he's conservative. And we live here and we're pretty liberal. And we all moved from Portland. You know, he dispersed from Portland a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I just cannot take his late night text that he sends, you know, with most of the MAGA stuff, the talking points, et cetera. So it really caused me some distress because I just can't discuss it with him because, you know, he probably thinks I'm the same way. We're both hard-headed, you know. But what we finally decided to do is no more political discussions after 2 in the afternoon.
Well, that's...
That way we both don't go to bed angry, you know.
Well, that's a step. But here's my question to you. Why are y'all still even discussing the two very different political views? Are you trying to convince him? Is he trying to convince you? Or is it just for the sake of saying I'm right and you're wrong?
Well, he sends these texts usually, you know, you can tell he's probably had a couple beers in the afternoon, and he sent them, and they're very negative, you know. It's almost like you talking points from our former president, you know. And it's really, I want to just turn it off, but my dear wife has convinced me not to close the avenue of discussion so that we, you know, we are open to discussing with him other things. And so we both, just in the last few days, we both have said we agree, no more politics, especially at nighttime, you know. And that way, if we do say something before that, you've got plenty of time to mellow out before you go to bed, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
It reminds me of what they used to tell couples, you know, don't argue before you go to bed, or at least get it solved before you go to bed so that you can sleep and you don't ruminate on it, you know. It's sort of the same thing, but just different characters.
So is your wife concerned that if you say, I really don't want to talk about this political issue any further, that perhaps that means that y'all won't talk and your communication will be cut off? Is that the problem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that probably a good way to approach this so that your entire conversation and relationship, communication relationship, is not hanging on the political issues. And that is one of those areas in which people get so divided and can't seem to work toward a collaborative agreement of something. Then maybe instead of saying, I don't want to talk about that anymore, say, you know, we both have some real disagreements about the way things are. I hear you say that, and you repeat what you hear him say. And then you can say, I feel that, and say what you feel. And then say, it seems like we may not be able to get to the middle ground of agreement on this. So let's try to talk about some of the other great things that are going on in our lives. I think I would probably try to shift it and say, instead of saying, not talking about it anymore, because I understand what your wife is saying, that she really is wanting you to keep communication open with your son who is far away. I completely understand that, and I would say that. I have siblings who have different political views than I do, and I have close friends who do. And what I have made clear is that this is my view, and this is why. And I'd rather not discuss this because it seems that both of us get a little anxious about this. Let's talk about happy ground where we agree if we can. Because I don't think we can work this out. You're not going to convince me to vote for this individual, and I'm likely not going to convince you. So what is the point of this discussion? You know, to talk through it, I heard you say, is a good way to start things. Then they can say, that's not exactly what I said. And then you can return the conversation by saying, okay, then let's talk about that again. So important to keep those lines open. But when you feel like there's a stalemate and you're not going to reach common ground, it really is sometimes okay to agree to disagree. Now, that's my opinion. Agree to disagree. I love you. You can put words in there like, I love you, care about you, want to keep talking to you. I love having these weekly phone calls or texting, but let's try to keep it as positive as we can. If there's a problem we need to work out and can, then let's do it. Does it sound like that might work?
You know, the funniest thing was when we discovered, both of us discovered, about the same time, that we being liberal here, our vote's not going to matter. And where he is, his vote's not going to matter. We suddenly go, hey, why are we making a big deal out of this? And so we have come to the conclusion that we'll just leave it alone and, like you say, find other things that we have in common to talk about.
Good. Perfect. I mean, I think that's exactly what you have to do sometimes, is realize you can have a relationship and a loving one with someone without always 100% agreeing with them. It's okay. And that's where we have to go. I think sometimes, especially here, but I think all over the world with conflict, it appears that we think everybody should think just like we do. And that's just not going to happen. That's pretty darn egocentric, isn't it? If we keep thinking everybody's going to think just the way we do. All right. Well, good luck. I hope it continues. And vote. Your vote does matter. It makes a statement, okay? Whether everybody else agrees with you or not, you're making a statement. So go vote. Thanks for your call, Tan. Thanks for being with us on Relatively Speaking today. We're talking about resolving conflict without dissolving relationships. How do you do that? Well, you know, dealing with conflict is different for different people. Some people are conflict aversive and will do whatever they can do to avoid it. That's not a good way. And other people are such immediate defensive people, they turn to tactics for defending their opinion with such a vengeance that it sort of shuts down any kind of attempt at resolution, you know, throwing up that shield. So you have the people pleaser people who just avoid it and just give in or don't talk about it. And then people who turn it immediately into an argument. There's some middle of the ground people, and that's great. And I want to hear from you, too, and how you deal with that. But we're going to go to the phones, and I think we have a conflict resolver, Brother Daniel, in Pascagoula calling in. Hey, Brother Daniel.
Hey, what's up, my sister from another mother?
Lots of good stuff. Oh, all is well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Today is the day. Prime. Let's get out there and vote and make that time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I only got 2 minutes, but I want to take up all the time. Magnolia, I need you to shine. I need you to do the right thing. I'm talking to both my Republicans and Democrats. That's right. I'm talking to both of you. I'm talking to you in the way that Christ would talk to you about love, guidance, one another, not victory. Because remember, Christ people, we're not supposed to be fighting, arguing, and trying to kill one another. We're supposed to be trying to love one another. Love thy neighbors, you love thyself. It also goes for our Muslim brothers and sisters. Same thing. It says, be ye merciful for Allah, for God is merciful. It goes for our Jewish brothers and sisters. For in the Torah, it says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor. It goes for all those that have common sense. Even if you might not believe in religion, believe in common sense. Believe in your neighbor, for we need each other during the hurricanes and struggles. And now, we don't need our children to see us bickering. I had 3 children come to a conference meeting last week with their parents and came to the church and said to me, why are the parents fighting and trying to kill one another? And why are they letting these guns be such a situation? I hunt with my daddy, but we don't believe in trying to kill somebody with our gun.
Right.
Why is there so much killing? Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to do a wake-up call. So as Malcolm said, the chicken has come home to roost, and let us as Mississippians, because yes, I might have been born in New York, but my dad is Mississippian. And this is the place to show the world how to come away from struggles, adversities, and show a good, good state. And I'm so proud of you, Governor Tate. for trying to do the right thing. Remember, you go to church Sunday, you know what you're supposed to do, and you know what you're not supposed to do. Now, I'm talking to all my politicians. You know the rule. We are family first. We are Mississippians. Remember that. Magnolia blooms in us. Thank you.
Brother Daniel, that was a mouthful, and you said a lot of good stuff. I do think that some of the violence is that's going on now, and Mississippi has its share, and Jackson, Mississippi certainly has its share of violence, and the majority of it is between people who know each other and disagree, perhaps family members. We hear a lot of that, where the resolution of the conflict is a gun, and that does have to absolutely stop. And so thank you, Brother Daniel. You keep that preaching about learning to love your neighbor. And you don't have to be religious. You don't have to believe in anything other than a higher being, I guess. But basically, to love your neighbor, we do rely on each other so much, and we should. And it really does take a village. So thank you for that. So, you know, let me move to family conflict a little bit, but happy to discuss work conflict too. And the ways you approach it and deal with it really are similar, okay? It may feel different, but it really is similar if you use the same techniques as we move through this. So if family conflict is occurring regularly, it really may have impact on everything that's going on in the household. Increases stress, decreases mood. You aren't going to feel the same way about yourself if someone on a regular basis is arguing with you, or if you are arguing with them. What happens is it really does lower your mood and your self-esteem. And so to keep that in mind, that working out that ongoing family conflict is really, really important. And so a couple of things to do when you are working toward understanding and responding to your family conflict that's going on. First of all, probably to step back and to think about why you're so upset about this. What is the issue that is out there that is causing your upset? And why are you disagreeing with this person in your family? Is it some old feelings that are still lingering that you never resolved, and it's not really about that particular issue, but something in the past? So to make sure you examine your conscience, so to speak, make sure that you really understand why your reaction is the way it is, because many times there's something underneath, underlying, unresolved that you really need to take care of. So that's really step one, managing yourself. If you're feeling angry or hurt, and you react too quickly, you can say some pretty mean things that you don't mean really. Or you can say some really hurtful things that you really didn't mean to hurt the person like you did, but you were feeling hurt and angry, and so you lashed out. So I know sometimes just sitting on things for a little while, just allowing a few minutes to think through what's going on is okay. But walking out on someone when something starts is not okay. You have to be able to set the stage. Okay. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you further about approaching conflict resolution and doing it in the right stepwise fashion so that you have good, strong relationships and still can disagree. All right. So you can send an email to family@mpbonline.org about conflict resolution. Welcome back, and thanks for being with us today. And relatively speaking, we're talking about conflict resolution and how to do it. So before the break, we were talking about having some insight into what's going on with you and why an issue is upsetting to you. Why do you disagree with the individual? Sort of do some internal soul searching. Figure out where you are and why you are. You know, understanding what is going on with you is step one. So good idea to think about why you're upset so that then you can communicate clearly to your family member, to your loved one, or to the person in the workplace, whatever it is. So, you know, is your reaction happening because you're tired or overwhelmed? And then someone said one more thing that you needed to do, and that was it. You just couldn't take one more paper on your desk. You couldn't take one more chore request. It was like, I am done. And so no matter what it was about, what that paper was about or the chore or the task, doesn't matter. It's just that it was one more thing, and that was it. And Abram, you're nodding. You get that, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I am one who can, when I get overwhelmed, like I have to take a step back. And it happens a little more than I'd like to admit, but still, I have to always have to take a step back and realize that, like, you know, when I come home, my wife has stuff to tell me. And she had a day too, and I need to listen to that. And, you know, hearing some more things and telling more, like adding more stuff into my brain, it can kind of hit me sometimes.
Right.
So having to take a step back and be like, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I just need to take a second.
And, you know, I have heard several people say that they do this, and I think it's a really excellent technique, especially when, you know, two people haven't seen each other all day and both perhaps have had difficult days. A really good thing to do is to give each other a 5 or 10 minute timeout period to just come in, say hello, give a kiss, and promise that you're going to allow each other to have a few minutes to just de-hiss, so to speak, to just take that deep, calming breath. Now, you know, I have all these many years that I've worked, I've had a fairly long drive to work and home. And so I consider it a bit lucky that I do have that 20, 30 minutes to just reflect on my day and gather my thoughts and to calm down. And that's a good thing to do. Everybody doesn't have a long drive, thank goodness, because there's some negatives to that, especially with the way traffic gets. But everybody needs a little bit of time to shift over, to shift sort of roles from individual who is, you know, perhaps working at a frenzy. I mean, for example, here at the radio station, everything goes by seconds. You know, 60 seconds is a very long time at the radio station. And so you're used to making quick decisions and moving quickly and taking care of things quickly. And then to get home and to expect that kind of rapid movement and rapid response and saying things within 60 seconds rather than, you know, 5 minutes, is hard to shift. So you have to get yourself to make a brain shift, so to speak.
It's funny you mentioned that because my wife always comments with how slowly I move. Like if I'm doing the laundry or the dishes or something, like I do take my time. But it's the same thing, like that I come here and I, like, we do try to stick to the second. Everything's kind of exactly. A little fast paced, but, and then I get home and I get very, we'll call it lazy with how fast I move with the, you know, cooking for cooking supper or doing the dishes or doing laundry or anything like that.
And so with something like that, what you can do is say, let me tell you why I'm doing this. It just feels so good to be able to move calmly. So again, communication, being able to say, to take it lightly, not allow yourself to throw up that shield and be defensive, because all of a sudden somebody that you love doesn't think you're absolutely perfect, and to explain why you're having this shift. I think sometimes, you know, we get so into ourselves, and I do this, you know, I'm one of those larks. I get up in the morning and I'm ready to go. I'm moving about. And the other day, this just happened recently, I'm doing little chores around the house and getting this done and getting that done. And I asked my husband a question and he didn't say anything. And I looked at him and I said, "Did you hear me?" And he said, "Yes, but could I just drink my coffee, please?" And it was like, oh, oops, sorry. You know, I kind of crossed that line because he is not a lark. He is one of those who has to have that hour or so to just wake up. And that's okay.
I think your husband and I would get along quite well with that. I'm the exact same way. My voice even changes when I'm early in the morning. Like, I'm blech in the morning.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Carol N. McGee with a question about some conflict resolution. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I have two adult daughters. They are completely different personalities. Mm-hmm. One is likes to be in touch with the family, and she has our new grandbaby. Mm-hmm. The other one is kind of a quiet, not forthcoming person. She has two dogs, so mm-hmm. We have a. And doesn't stay in touch with the family much. Although they live in the same town, in a small town, and we extend invitations to the one who stays kind of to herself. I don't have a problem with it. I've become accustomed to that. I do know that it's her personality, that she doesn't enjoy being around crowds so much or involved in situations, family situations. So I'm okay with that. It's the other daughter that isn't okay with it. And I don't know how to reconcile other than to say that if you have children, you will understand. So now she does have a child, and I'm hoping that she will understand that everybody's not made from the same cloth, that you do have to take individuals as they are. And I really need to know a way I can explain that to her or to both of them,
how
they do better.
Well, Carol, you are so right. You know, I've talked about I'm from a family of eight, and we're all very different, even though some of us look very much alike. And I have five children who are very different in their personalities. And so it can be an issue when, again, everybody wants to feel and act the same way they do. And that's part of the problem with conflict, you have to learn how to accept each other's differences. Now, you've talked about your two daughters, and you're right. Your daughter, who is sounds like more the extrovert and outgoing and likes to be around people, has a child, but she has one child, not two. So she's not going to see the differences yet until she does. And, you know, I have two of my daughters look very much alike. And they are about as different as night and day. They love each other very much. But, you know, I always said one of them wanted to be up front center stage, and the other one always wanted to be painting the background. And it works if you accept each other for who they are, because you've got to have both types. And I guarantee you, Carol, you would have trouble with two daughters if they both wanted to be up front center stage all the time, too. Those kind of conflicts happen, because then they're going to be wanting the limelight. So I have a couple of suggestions for you. To remind, I'm not sure if your daughter with your two grand dogs, as I call them, I have some of those, is one who is just shy, or is there something else going on with her? Is she really okay and not depressed? Is she enjoying her life? Because what you can do with her, since she's not a big visiting the family kind of person, is just reach out to her, text her, check on things, say, send me pictures of the dogs. Let her know that she's just as important as the other daughter. You want to make sure that she feels as included and just as important. Because there might be even a little further separation if she feels a lesser than because she doesn't have a grandchild for you. You want to make sure that's not an issue at all, and make it very clear. The other thing I think would probably be good, it sounds like you've started doing this, is with your daughter with the young child, remind her communication goes two ways and reaching out goes two ways. And so that she's probably more of a people person than her sister. And so just to remember that it probably would feel nice to her sister just to have reach out. She could call and say, can I come visit you? Instead of expecting everybody to gather at mom's, and that would be the only time she sees her. So you can make some small suggestions about, you know, reaching out and reminding her. Maybe her lifestyle is exactly what she's chosen and she's very happy with it, but to make sure that her sister's okay, and to reach out and not think it's about her. I think many times people, when they start feeling like somebody is not doing what they ought to be doing, you turn internal and you think it's about me. They don't like me. They don't want to be around me. It's something that I did. And until that communication happens and gets settled, nobody knows what the real story is.
I think the extrovert daughter is, she doesn't necessarily consider herself a high achiever, but she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like you say you are. She's a lark. The other one is quite the opposite, and has not what one thinks, not the extrovert thinks the other one could be a high achiever, but she just hasn't done it. And I think she's upset with her sister for not achieving when she knows she could.
Hmm.
So that in itself is, when they get together, I think the one with the puppies seems like that she's being she's not putting her down because she hasn't achieved, but she the one wants her to achieve so much, and she feels like she hasn't met her potential. And I think it's a love thing from the extrovert, more so than, you know, antagonizing her. I think she just loves her so much. They love each other, but they can't really stay in the room more than 2 or 3 hours at a time because of the situation. So,
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think sometimes what we think those that we love need is not really what they need. And your daughter that has perhaps achieved in your other daughter's eyes less, she may have achieved exactly what she wants to achieve and has exactly what she wants as far as material possessions. I think sometimes we get all wrapped up in forgetting that having a happy life doesn't necessarily mean you need a big house and a lot of possessions and a lot of people around you. It may be that internal satisfaction that you're getting, as long as you're not being selfish. But it sounds like your daughter has that introvert who gets internal satisfaction from her own self and her own feelings about herself, rather than the externalized kind of person who needs codification or gets their satisfaction from praise from others. And so two different kind of people, both kind of people are really fine. And so the main thing perhaps to remind your daughter is that it really is okay. As long as she's happy, that's all that matters. And, you know, maybe she is doing some volunteer work or reaching out to other people, or maybe she's just a good friend or just a good dog mama and taking care of two dogs who need to be cared for. So to not put her standards on her sister and vice versa. And you know, our family certainly understands that. And I hope our children understand that, because we do have children in very different, you know, career paths. And that's okay. And that's how it should be, or the world would be an exceedingly boring place. So, Carol, that's just kind of my thoughts about that. I hope that helps you, and I hope that works.
And if I could add, I also feel like, you know, personally, I'm kind of the same as the introverted daughter. You know, a lot of the times what we do, we work on quietly or something like that. Like, it's very quietly. Nobody hears it or anything, but I play music all the time. I don't do it when my wife's around because I don't want to make too much noise and stuff, but that's just where I find my happiness and that type of thing.
Perfect. Okay, Carol, thanks for that. I know we're right at the end. I just want to say a couple of things. Some things you can do for good communication is listen. We've talked about that. Listen carefully and acknowledge. And that way, conflict is a lot easier to resolve. So, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our callers again. Southern Remedy is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio, and funding is provided in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and support from you guys, listeners just like you. If you'd like to hear this show again or any past episodes, you can listen to the podcast on your favorite app by searching Southern Remedy, Relatively Speaking. This show is a production of MPB Think Radio, and it's engineered by Abram Nanny, call screening by Charles Arnold, and I'm Dr. Susan Buttress. Please join us next Tuesday. We've got a great show coming up at 11 for Relatively Speaking on sleep and nightmares. So stay tuned for NPR's Here and Now, coming up next right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.